Alison Alexandra here. Welcome back to my Brain Injured Friends podcast. And if you're a new listener, very welcome to you as well. Before we kick it off, I would just like to let you know that we are currently available on the following platforms. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Public Radio, and Pocket Cast. So wherever you are listening to your podcasts, you will most likely find us there.
Yes. Hello, everyone. We've prepared a new topic for this week, and it's the top list of things you should own if you have a brain injury in terms of accessories. I think a lot of people with a brain injury discover throughout the time that there are some few things that are like indispensable that you really have to have. And so from our experience, we made a list, and we're actually really curious to hear if these are also the things that you're using, or if there are other things that you think should be included in this top and are really, really important.
Yeah, so this list is like a combination of literally like physical accessories. Mm-hmm. Some of them are also like applications or tools or things like that. But yeah, I think it's going to be exciting to hear all of the things that we've gathered over the last few years. So Alexandra, kick us off.
Yes. So first of all, for me, and I know that also for you, are the accessories for diminishing noise. So I use custom made earplugs, and you have an auditory device, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell them more about it, but maybe tell them about the earplugs, because this is a bit different, the ones that I'm trying out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, mine are, just custom made to my ear, and they refine the noise around up to, I think, 20 decibel. So that's the noise level that you would hear. So that's much, I would say, much lower than the normal noise, but you still, hear people speak. And if you go to, for example, let's say a concert, which, probably most people won't, which have a problem with noise. But if you do go to a concert, then it's much better. You don't hear the noise as loud, and it's not as annoying as it would be otherwise. And I notice also, because a lot of people around me, in like especially my husband, when we go somewhere and I have the earplugs, he says, "Oh my gosh, it's so noisy in here." And I'm like, I don't know, with these things, I don't really hear that much noise. So it does help.
So it brings down the noise completely. Do I understand that correctly?
You still hear it, but it's not annoying as it would be otherwise. And it's much more blurred, I would say, in a way. It's interesting. Mm. But it's worth the investment, for sure, for me. They are not cheap. I think I paid around €200 on them. That's obviously more expensive than just a normal earplug.
Yes.
But I've been now using them for almost 2 years, and so they are worth every penny.
Yeah. I remember you got yours quite some time ago. So when would you wear them? Would you wear them weekly or daily, or how often would you wear them, and kind of in what, surroundings or circumstances?
I wear them always when I go out of the house. When I'm going to a place that might have noise, like restaurants, or if I would go to meet someone for a coffee or something like that, or even if I go on a public transport.
Really?
Yeah. So,
and like for grocery shopping, you would wear them?
Yeah,
trips like those, or not really?
That I cannot answer, because I don't really go grocery shopping.
Okay. You kind of wear them daily then, or like whenever you're outside of the house.
Yeah, and I try not to forget them, because obviously sometimes it happens that I forget them, especially more in the beginning. Now I think I got a little bit of more habit of looking before I go out of the house for the most important things that I have to have with me, like my phone and usually these earplugs. So I usually check, I have my phone, do I have my earplugs? And so I don't forget them anymore. But yeah, I use them quite a lot and they've been quite helpful. And one of the other benefits that they have is, you know how you get energy drained when you go somewhere. So they help with that too, because you don't hear all the noise and stuff. You get less consumed, like your energy gets consumed slower. So then you still have a little bit of energy come back and stuff. It's been very helpful. So if there are people out there who are wondering if custom-made earplugs are worth,
the investment,
I would say definitely.
I didn't realize that you use them that often. I thought it's more of a weekend or special occasion type of thing where you would wear it like in a restaurant when you and Nick are going out for dinner, or maybe when you're at a concert or at a birthday party or something like that. I didn't realize you wear them quite so often. So I am very, very new to the ear accessory world. It actually happened that I was having lunch with a very, very good friend of mine, and his dad suffered a brain injury. I don't know exactly how long, but say 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And I don't see this friend of mine that often because we don't live in the same city. Anyway, we were going out for lunch and we were sitting in a noisy restaurant, and he was checking in with me of like how I'm doing, with regards to my brain. talking and sharing and so on. And then he asked me like, Beata, aren't you annoyed with all of this noise like in the restaurant? And I said, yes, I am. I'm very annoyed. Yeah. And I said, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that, it doesn't happen often that someone almost picks up on, this stimulation that could be annoying. Anyway, but of course, him with his dad, he kind of understands, all of the symptoms and so forth. So he was asking me, why haven't I tried hearing aids? And I said, my problem is it's not that I can't hear, it's that I almost hear too much.
Yeah.
I'm almost going to call it that. Mm. It's, yes, I'm struggling with my hearing, but it's not that I can't hear, that it sounds muffled or that the sound is too soft in my ear. It's almost like there's too many sounds in my ear or ears, and there's just too much going on. Anyhow, I went to the audiologist that his dad went to a couple of years ago, and we did a proper like hearing test. And they do a test where they test the hardware and they test the software. The hardware being the physical ear, the organ. And then the software is like how your brain can interpret what your ears are hearing.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. So it's the same situation like for previous listeners, like with my blindness. There's nothing wrong with my eyes, the actual organ. It's my brain that cannot interpret what my eyes are seeing. And the same thing was true for my ears. So nothing is wrong with the organ being my ears, but on my, what do you call it? Like hearing audiogram. I think that's what it's called. I can't remember now. It clearly shows that my brain can't
process
hear well, process when there is background noise. So in that test, they actually play almost like a very loud white noise sound, like a sound, and they play words in between and you have to repeat them until you can't anymore, because they make them softer and softer. So it's basically trying to distinguish, again, taking someone's voice or the information that you would like to hear out of the noisy environment, say being a restaurant or, an open office, floor or whatever. And that is where I'm struggling. So anyhow, I'm currently wearing, like as we speaking, I'm wearing my second test runners, whatever you want to call them, like demo products. So I've tried the first ones for 10 days and I'm trying these ones for 10 days. And then we're going to try and see like how much it helped me, which ones were better and so on. I'm going in Friday. Oh, wow. But anyway, long story short, I feel like this was a very long explanation. But anyway, it definitely is making a difference for myself in noisy environments. If I'm at home or if it's just me and my husband at home, you know, I don't find the need to wear them necessarily.
I was going to ask.
But when I'm out, it's I would definitely wear them. I don't think I'll wear them if I go grocery shopping or if I'm, you know, just driving to a family member. But whenever I think there is more than, I would almost want to say 4+ individuals in a room, I would say I would definitely find the need
to wear them.
And it's kind of been amazing to kind of go into this field of hearing and kind of understanding how hearing works. And,
exactly.
You know, all the different parts.
That I also didn't, like I noticed before that I have a lot of irritation when I am in a place with noise and things like that, and I just couldn't be there. But I didn't really understand why. And I think, you know, the earplugs for me, and maybe I will try to find someone to do some similar test like yours, because it sounds really useful. It just opened my, like, okay, that's really something helpful.
It's kind of, yeah, and it's something I discussed with one of my therapists yesterday. I was just saying, it's kind of giving you a part of your life back. If you have to, like, kind of imagine having a coffee being, you know, completely relaxed and at ease with someone versus having that same cup of coffee with that same person, but you're completely stressed out and you're, you know, thinking about, I don't know, a big exam coming up or a presentation that you have to do, it's going to be a whole different experience, right? So it's almost just removing some of that stress, maybe not even all of it, unfortunately, but it's removing some of that immense uncomfortableness and stress that you experience on an auditory level that goes deeper, right? Because people can think like, oh, it's just auditory.
No, but it's actually not just auditory. Yeah. It's
our eyes and ears are how we, as, you know, creatures, as animals work, right? It's the way we take in information or how we determine whether we are in danger or if it's something, an environment that we can relax in, right? So and if your ears are constantly under attack, then you are going to be, you know, stressed. And
for sure. And I remember the times before I had these that I just couldn't be there with the people that I wanted to meet. I would go there and I would feel forced to make an excuse to just leave because I couldn't take it anymore. Like, I could be there for maybe 15, 20 minutes and I had to make an excuse, and now it's so much better than before. I still can't be at a coffee or whatever more than like an hour or like a meeting, but at least it's so much more than 10, 15 minutes. So I'm very grateful to them.
Just last comment on that, because I feel like we can talk about this for so long. But the one thing that was quite interesting, in order for myself and for the audiologist to kind of determine whether it's going to be the worthwhile investment, is I took a questionnaire prior to having the hearing aids to kind of see how much my hearing is affecting my daily life, where you tick off kind of whether a certain situation impacts your life every single day, sometimes or not at all. And then at the end, you count the amount of things and you get a score, kind of, you know, telling you like how bad your situation is. And then we did that exact same test again after my first hearing aids. And Alexandra, that mark, the amount, the score went down so much. In other words, the severity of the condition that I have lessened tremendously. I was at, I had a day where I socialized for 5 hours.
Oh, wow. That is
five
crazy.
5 hours.
Oh, and that's so nice.
That's like beyond. Yes. And I literally felt fine. I was actually the one saying like, oh no, we should continue. Like, I don't want to stop. And everyone's like, no, they want to go home.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, we're over 30. We have to go sleep now. know? but anyway, so anyway, it makes a big difference. And it's definitely a worthwhile accessory to look into if you have a brain injury or know someone with a brain injury.
All right. Let's move on to number two, which is been equally as important as if I think about my memory, because the issues that I have with my short-term memory are, you know, still very much vivid and still very much affecting me on a daily basis. So the use of like agendas and either digital or like notebook types for these memory issues have been like life-saving. And I see a big difference with the beginning, because in the beginning, I didn't trust myself. So I could write things down in my phone, or I could write things down in my notebook. And because I don't have a good short-term memory, I would see them back, you know, as reminders or whatever. And I just didn't remember them. So I would look at the note and be like, I don't know, is that something I wrote? I don't remember it. And
I remember.
And what does it mean? Because I would write, you know, three words or two words. And then when the reminder came, I would just look at it and think, I have no clue what it is. And is this even something I wrote? Like, it just was so distant.
Yeah, so like something like email.
Yeah, something John, like, you
and
know.
And you're like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
I write this. Am I supposed to email John? Who's John?
Yeah, to that extent. So that was kind of in the beginning. So I thought, like, in the beginning, I felt like, no way, this is not working. It's not helping me. I don't even know that it was me who wrote it. But then I tried to find, you know, some other compensation strategies, like write more than just two words, like write a full sentence, try to write as many things as possible related to that task or reminder so that I would know what it is. And now I'm making so much use of it, like especially on the phone, just everything is on the phone that I need to do. And if it's not on the phone, that it just doesn't happen. Like, it's just not in my life, kind of.
Yeah.
So it's been helping me a lot.
So I think for my agenda accessory would be actually a handwritten notebook, or I actually use a diary, but the diary is, there's lots of space. So each day has an A5 sized writing area with, on the left side, it has the hours of the day, so I can encircle an hour if I have an appointment. And then on the right-hand side of that same page, like, I will almost write my to-do list or all of the things that's important for that day. And I've always loved handwritten notes and like a notebook or a diary. And then when I started working, I was kind of, I want to say, forced to go digital. And with that, I mean, everyone sent electronic invites and, you know, things would chop and change so quickly that it wasn't worthwhile to copy everything handwritten into like a notebook, because I had to erase too many things and change it around. So I then adapted my personal things to go digital as well, so everything is in one calendar. So I merged my work and personal calendar almost as one, because obviously the two things do impact one another. And then when I left the tech company that I worked for, where I met Alexandra, I still went, or still stayed digital, because that's what I've been using for 3 years or so. And then I just realized, like, oh my gosh, like, why am I doing this? Because every single day or week, I felt like a strange uncomfortableness with it. And I, in the middle of this year, I bought myself a new diary. So you can see, like, literally half the pages are perfectly white and pristine. And then the other half you can see is like a little bit more dirty or used or whatever the word is. And that is where everything for myself goes into. I still use some of the apps on my iPhone, but I'm kind of in a routine where certain things, like my grocery list, goes on to the reminders list keeping application on my iPhone. And, you know, if I have video ideas for the YouTube channel, I have that in notes also on my iPhone. But all of my appointments and things that I have to accomplish that day, all of that goes into my diary, and I'm very happy with it. And I do advise, I think that's actually what we're getting to, is you need an accessory, whether it's an app or a physical book that you keep all of your things in. It's just the best to do, like get something or get into a habit of knowing where your things are, because, oh my gosh, my memory was so bad in the beginning, and I'm so extremely thankful. It's so much better today. I can, in a conversation, at least I can remember what I'm trying to say. And, you know, if I have an idea, I can, you know, if the person stops talking, I'll remember what my idea was. But in the beginning, it was very bad. So even then, I would quickly make a note of something while they're still talking, so I can remember what I wanted to say. And, yeah, it helped tremendously. And sometimes I still need it, but
I tried the physical agendas too, because I also love writing, but for me that still doesn't work just because of the memory, because I always forget in which agenda I wrote it. So then
See, I only have one.
I have like five. So, I don't know why.
Recycle them.
So then I have like, I don't know where my stuff is. But if I have it only on my phone, I have only one phone, so I'm like, it has to be here. So for me, yeah, that works. But you know, each person can choose for their own. Some can do a combination, kind of like what you also do, like a combination. So, but it's helpful. Let's go to the third one,
and
that's something I actually got in the US last year. That's a brain injury card for in my wallet. There is this company of I think of lawyers, and just by going to their website and filling in like your name, date of birth, person of contact in case of an emergency, and they kind of send you a card which has information about, I have a brain injury, and on the back it says like, it might be that this person acts like this and like this, and writes, you know, it says a lot of things related to brain injury, or like maybe forgets things and that's just related to it, or if you see that they you know, in case something happens and someone, let's say, finds you, God forbid, but anyway, then they would have like contact number of like my husband in this case, and they would know kind of a little bit of the medical history. I don't know, I just found it comforting to have it, like a little bit of relief
for yourself. I think for me it's well, I think it also depends on where you live, I suppose. I'm not sure, but I get that is almost like an extra thing. I didn't really understand it prior to you explaining it now. But for myself, I just always make sure that I have my medical aid card in my purse with me. And I always carry my purse because it's got my driver's license in it and bank card and so on. So it is something that I have with me. And if I don't have that, I usually have Michal with me if we're going on a walk, for instance. I don't obviously take my handbag, or well, I don't take my handbag with me, but then I have him. And if I go for a walk on my own, I make sure that I take that card. So if again anything were to happen, whether it's now brain related or not, at least they know in South Africa they can take you to a private hospital and give you the right medical attention. So, but yeah, I would say make sure that you have some form of identification with you. I think that's also always good, right? And if you have medical insurance and your country doesn't provide medical assistance to everyone and you have to have private medical care, make sure that you have that card with you. That's probably...
For sure. I mean, I always also, like you said, if I take my wallet and things, my medical insurance is there. But if not, I usually go somewhere with Nick. So I kind of have a similar way of doing things. Just whatever works for everyone, but just making sure you have some form of medical identification.
Yeah, identification and medical. And I think that's actually for everyone, right?
True.
That is, everyone should actually have that with them, because the sooner the emergency staff can know who you are and kind of what the potential risks are, the better. And the same thing with, like, my husband. He has, like, you know, I think it's one allergy to a specific medicine that they quite commonly administer. And at the back of his medical aid card, I have that, again, you know, pasted on, like, a I have a label maker, and I pasted that thing on the back of his medical aid card. And it is also electronically on our medical aid, just so they don't administer the right or the wrong medicine in his case, you know, for things like that. Number four
is screen protection glasses. I think screen protection glasses or sunscreen glasses with protection, that's been very important. Sunglasses. Sorry. But actually, now that you mentioned that word, there was I went recently to this place which checked my eyes, kind of like the same test you had, and they did notice that whenever I had glasses which were for reading but with a pink filter, that I felt more comfortable. So yeah, they actually recommended me to think about whether I would like to take glasses which have a tinted filter of, you know, in this case for me it was pink. Yeah,
my word, that is so interesting. Yeah, I never tried the filters, the different colors or anything.
I didn't know that they even exist really. I mean, maybe I saw them at some point, but I was not aware. And then he took this test, you know, and he saw that I have some issues with eye focus and things like that, because also related to the brain injury. And then he did some tests with what kind of things can improve it a bit. And then the filter with like a pink towards red color was giving me a bit of comfort. So, yeah.
Okay. That's very interesting. So if you now say screen protection glasses, is that what you mean by that? Or is there
Yeah, I meant more these kind of just normal glasses with protection for the screen, like this blue light.
For the blue light, right? The blue light filtered glasses. I know that it's a lot of glasses have the filters in them for work.
Yeah,
doing lots
yeah.
of computer
and it's also
work.
Good for TV.
Yes, okay.
Watching TV,
I know it helps.
I noticed a difference with it. And again, the same way like with the earplugs, it allows you to have a little bit more energy at the end of the day. Like whenever I wear them, my energy is a little bit more, it's stored a little bit better than if I don't wear them.
Okay. Yeah, because I already wore glasses prior to my injury, I continued wearing mine, and mine's got a light prescription in it for, it's a multifocus, so for far and for close by. But I can't really speak to the tinted ones. The one pair of glasses that I also really enjoy is just a normal pair of sunglasses. Mine does have my prescription in them, which is great. So it means I can, you know, drive with them more easily, or, you know, read something beach or page through a magazine or something like that. Not that I'm not able to see without, you know, a prescription, but still, it's just, I love having my prescription in my sunglasses. And sunglasses overall, I probably started wearing sunglasses probably 6 years ago or so. And after the injury, I feel like I love them even more, because almost like Alexandra said, any type of sensitivity that one would have, whether it's to light or noise or, you know, any type of stimulation, if you can kind of control that a bit more, or, you know, a bit better, then it usually improves the quality of your day. And Yes, I always
go that's out also with one thing that I forgot to mention, but I also do that. Sunglasses is like always at the door. They go with me everywhere almost. Yeah, true.
But anyway, it's, it might be a good idea after a brain injury to go test your eyes. I have a neuro, I think in the previous episodes, I might have spoken about a neuro-ophthalmologist, and that's not the truth. I was actually corrected by her last week, Monday. She's a neuro-optometrist, and the difference is a neuro-optometrist is someone who works closely with the patient, almost on a rehabilitation level, where a neuro-ophthalmologist almost works with the scans of the brain in combination, obviously, with the tests of the eyes, and maybe do even operations and, you know, of a more medical level. And an optometrist is more of a rehabilitation, person-to-person therapist level, if I can call it that. I'm sorry if I offended anyone with the way I describe this now. It's probably definitely not the, the correct words that I'm using. But anyway, she helped me in my rehabilitation. And now I forgot what I wanted to say about her. Oh, she, the tests on my eyes and things like that. And that is the person that Alexander.
Yeah, I was just looking at him now to see, and I see that in his signature it says neuro-optometrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, see, exactly. Neuro-optometrist. That's exactly the word. Yes. So they do like a proper examination of how your eyes work. And it's freaking cool. You do these things where you follow a certain image on screen with your eyes, but the screen has a camera in it. So it tracks the movement of your eyes and see, it sees how smooth the movement of your eyes are, how quickly you can find, you know, necessary information on the screen, which applies to everyday life, whether it's driving a car and you have to quickly identify, you know, other vehicles on the road, or you're doing again, grocery shopping, you know, and you quickly have to find, or you want to find something, you know, as quickly as possible, you know, trying to remove information or get information from an imagery filled world. So yeah, I think if you have any visual irritation, it's worthwhile going to a neuro optometrist. I'll actually put my optometrist details in the bottom of the show notes if you're in South Africa.
These ones I went to were also South African, but living in here in the Netherlands. So it's something about South Africans in this job. Maybe.
But anyway, But in any case, all right. So number five, for myself, I'm not on a lot of pills. I was on the pill, the birth control pill, which we think was the cause of my stroke, because I had no other contributing factors besides the hormonal contraceptive pill. But I'm obviously now off it, and just because I showed a because I got a stroke while being on a hormonal pill, my neurologist also advised that I never have any type of hormonal treatment ever again. So with that in mind, I don't take a lot of pills, but the only pill that I do take as kind of a like a safety net, I would say, or like an extra measure of making sure that I don't have a stroke again, although I now say we removed the only risk factor from my life already. But I am on a blood thinner, and it's a very, very low one. It's an 81 milligram aspirin a day. But I try and make sure that I take it every day.
With a pill holder.
I've succeeded in doing that. So I haven't, with the pill holder, because especially in the beginning, as we've spoken about previously, my memory was not good. And it's so easily I could be confused whether I took one or not. And it was like a, it's called a jar of container, pills, or like a, you know, an entire container filled with them. So there was no way of knowing whether I took it or not. Anyway, I got this little pill holder from Monday to Sunday, and it's got it like these little windows. So I popped one in every day or in the beginning of the week. And then if I know the window is empty, then I know I've taken it. And also I have a reminder that goes off on my phone just to also prompt me to go to the pill holder and take it from that. Oh. But now they changed the freaking packaging. And a week ago when I got it at the pharmacy, and it's in these is it called a sachet of thing? The ones that you pop out of the metallic type of, pamphlet paper type thing. And it's too big to fit into the individual cells. So I kind of made a plan to write with a permanent marker or with a pen.
Yeah, I did that too.
Package. Just MTW, for the days of the week. So, but if you have, you don't have a pill holder, get a pill holder.
And now you're trying to make it. I'm actually planning to buy one because I kept, I started with what you're trying to do now, writing on the back of the pills the day. But sometimes I discovered that, it's either a little bit gone away, the writing, like you can't see it clearly, or I just don't trust it or whatever. So I think I sometimes end up with taking either too many pills or too little pills. I take this, I take these migraine pills every day for headaches. They are two a day, and I think I'm taking sometimes three, but it's okay because he said up to three a day, so I have a one extra that I can take.
Yeah, because I'll send you a picture of the ones that my pharmacy have, and I'm sure you'll find that on Amazon. But I suppose I could just buy a container with bigger, little windows for each day. And that could solve the problem. And I've seen ones where you can have a morning, noon, and evening slot, with three windows for each day. Or two then, but there's multiple different ones.
And if somebody has an idea about a better way to fix this, since we're looking for some solutions, then they can let us know.
Number six is very random, but is a hair clip for myself, and I wrote that it also could be something else for someone else. And by that I mean is, again, we've spoken about it, is remove irritations from your day-to-day life. With the fact that I'm half blind, any visual impairment is I can't live with, right? So if it's a type of a day where it's very windy and my hair's constantly in my face, and not just in the cute, movie way where you have a small little fringe blowing over your eyes. I find that very annoying. And then I constantly just feel like I want to get my hair out of my face because it irritates me. I can't see. It stretches my energy levels and it causes irritation. So if I can remove any irritation or visual impairment from my life, I do that. And I currently have long hair. So I have a hair clip in my handbag or at the house, obviously, that I just quickly tie up my hair for a couple of hours if I have to do something, where I really just can't handle my hair in my face. So, but that could be something else for someone else. So I would actually love to hear, but we'll talk more about that at the end. Love to hear more suggestions. And then number seven is the app that I haven't used in the beginning, and I only kind of discovered it probably 5 months ago or so, is the accessibility tool that is free on all iPhones and Macs. And the accessibility tool does quite a few things. You can have a play around with it quite a bit, but it can change the colors on your phone. Obviously, it can make text bigger or smaller, remove certain flashing lights if the screen were to have things like that. But in my case, I love using it because I get very tired of reading and typing. So again, that is something that I have to limit every day, because I can't do that 8 hours straight is to read. Again, because of my vision. So I use the accessibility tools on my iPhone and Mac to read large paragraphs to me, or I use it to dictate. So I would press a button and speak in full, beautiful sentences to the microphone, and it converts my voice into typed words.
I will try it. I've never tried it, but it sounds very helpful.
So, yeah, it is. It really is. And you can even change the voice, you know, from a man to a woman, different accents, how fast the person speaks or reads to you. And to me, that helped a lot because, it probably lengthens the amount of time, or at least my efficiency that I have behind my computer. So, yes, I would definitely say, like, even if you're not completely blind or have a feel like you have a big enough issue, try the accessibility app and tool. It really is helpful. Yeah. And then number 8, also another app. It used to be called Find My Friends.
Yeah, I know
it's
that
now
one.
Just called Find My on my iPhone. And yeah, it's basically one where you can share your location with someone. And you, I think you can like limit the amount of hours that you even share it, but mine is like an always on state, for my husband, my brother, my sister, my mum, so that they can easily find me or check where I am if they call me and I'm not answering, for instance. And I have the same for them. Not that that is always so necessary. Sometimes when they don't pick up my phone, I check where they are, and I'm like, oh, they're socializing. Never mind. But, it just kind of, to me, it kind of brings me some ease to know that other people can easily find me if something were to happen. I don't constantly want to live in fear, and I don't. So it just kind of is a way to share the responsibility or give
and have a backup plan,
the tools
kind of
that
like,
they need if they even needed them. And sometimes, and the nice thing is we even use it on a social level. It's like sometimes we will check how far someone is away, if they said they're coming over for dinner, you know, things like that. So it's not like a thing that stresses us out. So Find My on my iPhone is a trustworthy way of sharing your location with loved ones easily.
And that is the top that
updated.
We made, and these are the most important accessories and apps that we use so far since we've had our brain injury. And it's actually really interesting for us to hear from you guys if you have other things that you're using, what are those, and how have they helped them? Maybe we can implement them. Why not?
Yeah. And with all of these things that you pack in your bag every single day, or that you take with to work or to friends, I always recommend pack a sense of humor, because you will always have strange things happening around you, strange comments. People won't understand what you are, telling them. And you might, just have a good laugh. We will laugh with you or cry with you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it and it was useful. We are looking forward to hear from you with questions, and if you have suggestions for other accessories that have been helping you, let us know what those are. Thanks again, and we'll be back soon with a new episode. Bye-bye.